How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about a whole mix of stuff. We're gonna start with the NCAA college football playoffs, and then probably talk about the NFL, and then probably move on to some politics. We were talking about the gubernatorial election last hour, and it sparked my interest. Also, we were looking. The Supreme Court decision that was referenced was just basically a repost of the 6-3 vote to that Donald Trump couldn't deploy the National Guard in cities anymore. So yes, but Ohio State on New Year's Eve did lose to Miami 24-14. I don't know. I think it was, I didn't watch the game, truth be told. We were having a New Year's party, and I had better things going on than college football. But no, I mean, Ohio State didn't play terribly. I just like to give Ohio State a hard time. I mean, I don't know, they played pretty rough, I guess. I mean, they only had 2 touchdowns, but, I mean, I don't know. Miami played really well, though. I mean, their defense played well. They had 2 interceptions on Julian Sain. Bo Nix did relatively well. Bo Jackson did relatively well, I suppose. But Miami's quarterback had no interceptions, and their running back had 4.7 yards per carry. So Bo Jackson was having a better game, which is, you know, not, like I said, I think personally that Bo Jackson is the best running back in college football right now, but I also only watch like 4 teams, so you'll have that. No, but I don't know. I think that Miami played well. I'm kind of upset. I know it sounds strange being that I hate on Ohio State so much, but I was kind of upset. Well, not really. I was hyped. I was bragging everybody in the garage because, you know, they're all Ohio State fans. But in reality, I mean, I wasn't lying early. The Buckeyes did have, or do have, I guess, the season's over, I suppose, for Ohio State, but it's not over yet, so they're still on Ohio State's roster. But so currently they do have, like 5 or 6 players projected to go in the first round. Now, will all of them go in the first round? No, probably not. Truth be told, they probably all will not go in the first round. You probably get 3 of them, maybe 4 in the first round. But I figure that if they're going to be, you know, taken in the first round, if the projected first round, they're going to be taken in at least the first 3. I don't see it getting past the second, though. To be fair, I think all but Carnell Tate is on defense. And man, I still can't think of the wide receiver's name that I was referencing earlier. One second. He's the starting wide receiver on Ohio State. Jeremiah Smith. There we go. Jeremiah Smith. Yeah. Also, Julian Sain looks like a child. Never saw a picture of this man before. I was looking at Ohio State's roster. He looks like a child. Anyways. So Carnell Tate's projected first-round pick as well, but besides that, I mean, all the first-round picks that they are projected are on defense. I want to say they have a defensive tackle, 2 linebackers, a safety, and a defensive end, maybe? I don't remember. But, exactly. But, I mean, they have like 5 or 6 people projected first round. And now, obviously, like I said, they're not all going to go in the first round. But if you have 5 players on defense, because, you know, like I said, Carnell Tate's a wide receiver, he was on offense. If you have 5 players on defense in college that are projected first-round pick, you pretty much have an NFL defense right there. Now, yes, will they all go to the NFL and be starters right off the rip? No. And will they all go to the NFL and even be good? Probably not. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. I mentioned earlier that Johnny Manziel, you know, widely considered one of the best college quarterbacks of all time, the man went to the NFL, went to the Browns, and, you know, did absolutely nothing. And I think he plays arena football now. He didn't even make it in Canadian football. They signed him in the CFL, and he failed in the CFL. And now I'm pretty sure... I don't even know if he's in arena football anymore. He was part of, like, FCFL, fan-controlled football league. But I don't even know what the fan-controlled football league is up to anymore. Johnny Manziel... became the first freshman to win a Heisman Trophy. Look at that. Johnny Manziel truly was cooking in college. But yeah, no, it seems that, that he no longer plays football at all. Yeah, no, that's rough. So, yeah, no, Johnny Manziel has retired. But like I said, Ezekiel Elliott was good, and then his numbers fell every year. Like, his averages fell every year, consistently down every year, never a resurgence. Gosh, I can't think of his name. Jeff Okuda. He was a cornerback, played for Ohio State. When the Detroit Lions let go Darius Slay, when he was still, you know, I don't think he was in his prime then. He was, like, just out of his prime, but he was still one of the best corners in the NFL. They got rid of Darius Slay. Darius Slay went to the Eagles because he had a bit of a spat with Matt Patricia, is my understanding. And then the Lions went and drafted Jeff Okuda from Ohio State. Jeff Okuda was supposed to replace Darius Slay. And Jeff Okuda never filled them shoes. He's a very average, very... I don't know about very average, very mid. He's an average corner. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's still got an NFL spot. I don't see how he couldn't have an NFL spot. He plays for the Vikings. See, look at that. But he's been on lots of different teams, I'm pretty sure. I think he's been on three, I want to say. Yeah. He played for the Lions, drafted to the Lions, went to the Texans, and now he's on the Vikings. So... yes, you're not, but college football is a whole different thing. If you are good in college football, it's not the same thing as the NFL. You can't say, well, they're going to go to the NFL and be not great. And yes, because that can happen. But once again, Johnny Manziel, one of the best quarterbacks in college football history, went to the NFL, worst quarterback in NFL history, widely considered the biggest bust in the NFL draft. I mean, things like that just happen. And, you know... but they were great in college football, which is what we are talking about as of currently. So, if you have, back to the original point now, circle back. If you have a defense that has five first round projected players, that's pretty good and well. I mean, NFL caliber defense, they're all going to the NFL. So at that rate, I think Ohio State's defense probably could have done better. I'm sure Ohio State's offense could have done better. I mean, Julian Sain was in the Heisman race for the longest time, set the record for the completion percentage. Carnell Tate's projected first round, like I said. Jeremiah Smith is probably going to go in the first round, but he's not eligible yet up until next year, I do believe. So he's got another year to go. But, you know, Bo Jackson, it just, I don't know. I think Ryan Day has a bit of a tendency to choke. And I think that's rough on the Buckeye fans, I guess. Also, I was looking at his win-loss record earlier. He does have an incredibly good win-loss record, but the games he loses are the big games. Actually, pull it up right here. I have it still. All the games he lost against Clemson in the college football semifinals. He lost to Alabama in the national championship. He lost to Michigan, lost to Oregon. I don't know what Oregon game this was. It says 2021. Lost to Michigan again, lost the Peach Bowl to Georgia, lost to Michigan again, lost to Oregon again, lost to Michigan again, and then lost to Indiana in the Big Ten championship. So of these games, 1, 2, 3, 4... Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 4 of these games, 4 of his 10 losses come in big games. And if you tack on the Michigan game, which is arguably the biggest game in Ohio State's in Ohio State's schedule every year, he's lost 4 of those. So, you know, chokes in the big games. I don't know what that is. I think he might just be maybe over... I don't know about overcompensating. I think he's just over game planning. I think he should just stick to the game plan that they always run, and things would probably end up well. But it doesn't end up working that way. I guess you'll have that. But, one second, I'm trying to pull up the rest of the college football games here. I should have plotted this whole show out better, but there we go. I'm looking at strictly Ohio State all of a sudden. Okay. Anyways. Alabama, I know, got absolutely destroyed by Indiana, which, by the way, I'm rooting for Indiana in the playoffs. So that's who I want to win that. And they absolutely killed Indiana. They absolutely killed Alabama. The score being 3-38. I wanted to make sure I got that right. I thought, see, that those are the numbers I had, but I wanted to make sure. Which is really disappointing to me. If I had to be a fan of a college football team, it'd probably be Alabama. I know that probably upsets a lot of Ohio State people. But I was just a big fan of Nick Saban when he was coaching Alabama. I understand he's retired at this point. But also, Alabama just has a great track record of putting people in the NFL, and they're actually good consistently. Ohio State puts good players in the NFL consistently as well, but I think Alabama just does it more consistently and more often. Jalen Hurts is from Alabama, Saquon Barkley's from Alabama, Derrick Henry, I'm pretty sure, is from Alabama, Devonta Smith is from Alabama. They have great teams. It kind of upset me when I learned that Alabama got schlapped. But, like I said, I am rooting for Indiana in this, so I guess at the end of the day it doesn't matter. I guess I was rooting for Indiana after they lost to Alabama. Otherwise, I probably would be rooting for Alabama. But also, Georgia lost as well. So Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State, all three out of the college football playoffs. But Georgia did not lose by as much. Georgia lost by 5 points. The score was 39-34. At least that one was a good game. It's more of a typical college football game. The quarterback for Ole Miss played great. 30 for 46, 362 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Gunnar Stockton at Georgia did not play as well, by the way. Trinidad Chambliss is the quarterback at Ole Miss. Ole Miss played a good game, knocked out Georgia. So a lot of underdogs in this college football playoffs, which I'm a big fan of underdogs. Also, I'm a big fan of the NIL. I didn't know how I felt about it originally, but I think it's going to be great. Now, I think it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of strange that colleges are playing, because at this point, the college is just a whole different pro league. I mean, you get to the college level, and you're allowed to get paid for your NIL, name, image, likeness. They're getting paid, well, not all of them, obviously, but a lot of the big schools, like Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, those players get paid, loads of money. Anyways, it's basically just another professional league, just slightly different rules, and then you go to a slightly harder professional league. I guess it's just being nitpicky, I suppose, but either way, I think that that the NIL process has worked out pretty well. A lot of teams who were bad previously are no longer bad because they have dumped absurd amounts of money into their program. But I think that's good. It's going to shuffle up the NCAA. Now, I'm also a big fan of Ohio University. That's the only local team I actually root for is the Bobcats because they're not great anyways, so they're underdogs. They actually have pretty good teams. They've been the MAC champions, I think, the last 2 years. So good on them. Also, Nathan Rourke got put into the CFL. He was from Ohio University. And then he went to the NFL, lost his job in the NFL, went back to the CFL. But his brother, Curtis Rourke, also played for Ohio University, ended up going to, I want to say Indiana, but I could be wrong. Ended up going, maybe Oklahoma. Either way, he ended up going to he played for Indiana, I was right, and he ended up getting drafted to the 49ers, and I guess he is just, he's probably on the practice squad, is my guess, seeing as, you know, the 49ers were down bad in quarterbacks, and they had three quarterbacks play, and none of them were Curtis Rourke. So that's not looking great for Curtis Rourke. I'd consider going to the, I don't know, you get paid a lot of money in the NFL. He probably gets paid more in the NFL than Nathan does in the, CFL. Either way, Ohio's a good team. That was the whole point of that. Good, you know, subjectively, I guess. They lose to Ohio State every time they play. But, you know, you'll have that. Most teams do. Another game I wanted to talk about in college football. I did watch a lot of the. I did watch this game though, because I was rooting for Texas Tech for the sheer fact that I like their uniforms. I don't know anybody who came from Tech. I think Patrick. You know, that's unfortunate. My least favorite NFL player. I'm pretty sure Patrick Mahomes came from Texas Tech. But yeah, so Texas Tech played very poorly. They scored 0 points. They got shut out by Oregon. Morton, the quarterback for Texas Tech, 18 for 32, 137, 2 interceptions. Oregon's quarterback also played slightly better, but also poorly, 26 for 33. Great completion percentage, but one interception is no bueno. The rushing game for Oregon was pretty rough, and the rushing game for, Texas Tech's rushing game was pretty, well managed. 13 carries, 81 yards, 6.2 average for Jacoby Williams. So that's a good stat line. But when you're down that much, you gotta score. And like I said, I did watch that game. The defense was absolutely killing it for Oregon. There was 2 picks by Brandon Finney Jr. I think he's going to be good in the NFL, I guess, if the picks keep up. You know, interceptions are fantastic. But, you know, so Oregon beat Texas. Oregon didn't play incredibly well themselves. I mean, the score in the first quarter, Oregon put up 3. In the second quarter, they put up another 3, leaving them at 6. In the third quarter, they put up a touchdown, so now they're at 13, and then they scored 10. In the fourth quarter. So they didn't play well themselves either, honestly. But a win's a win, and that was the fourth seed versus the fifth seed. So I guess this is the game that in theory should have been the most competitive. And it was. I mean, I know it seems like a bit of a shutout, but Texas Tech was really in the game the entire time, up until, you know, I guess the last touchdown. But, yeah. I mean, after the fourth quarter, they still could have come back and won the game. So that's all I got for that. I'm sure there were more games, but those were the main schools I wanted to talk about. Well, let's see. Did Michigan play a game? Let's talk about Michigan real fast. I don't think Michigan got in. I don't even think Michigan... They did! They played in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. And they lost to Texas 27-41. Texas killed them. 1 second here. Arch Manning went 21 for 34, 221, and 2 interceptions. Or sorry, 2 TDs, not interceptions. 0 interceptions. Great rushing game for him, though. 9 carries for 155 yards. 17-yard average. Yeah, so Michigan lost. Good news for Ohio State. I don't know if it matters to anybody anymore here in Ohio who wins the national championship. I guess maybe we'd like Miami too, because they lost to Miami And, you know, I guess it feels better to lose to the one who won it all than to just be a loser. But like I said, I would rather be pick 32, or sorry, I'd rather be pick 32 over pick 1, but I'd rather be pick 1 over pick 31. So, I'd rather be the best team in the NFL or the worst team in the NFL. I want the best pick or the worst pick. I don't want 31. Terrible. First loser. But, like I said, I do believe that is it for the college football that I have. But there are NFL things to talk about. Tomorrow there are games. The Packers, by the way, they don't play tomorrow, but they have they had a bit of a rough time. The 49ers beat the Bears, which is good news for the Packers, I guess. I mean, it doesn't really matter, I suppose. But, the Bears lost to the Packers, which is good news, because I think that perhaps, it did something to the Bears, I don't remember. Locked them out of locked them out of first spot in the NFC, maybe. But, either way, Bears lost to the 49ers. That's always good. 49ers are 12-4, which is incredible considering all the injuries they've had. George Kittle hasn't been injured yet. They had a preseason game canceled. I didn't realize that. That was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Oh, man, my math is awful. 6 years ago. I don't know how I got two. But yeah, the Bears, Bears lost. But the games tomorrow are going to be the, loading here. The games tomorrow, it looks like, are going to be, there's only two of them. Panthers, Buccaneers, Seahawks, 49ers. I say the Seahawks take the 49ers. That's going to be a good game, though. It's a rivalry game. So I say the Seahawks take the 49ers, and I say the Panthers take the Buccaneers. That's going to be a good game. I'm excited to see the Panthers versus the Buccaneers. But I got faith in the Panthers. I like Bryce Young. I honestly, truth be told, know nobody else in that team. But I like Bryce Young. So if Bryce Young manages to do well, then I'm pretty cool with that. But I don't know. I mean, I guess they have Rico Dowdle. I know Rico Dowdle. He's pretty good. They've got a couple wide receivers whose name I can't think of. I think they have J.C. Horn on that team. J.C. Horn's really good. They've got a couple of people. But, they could definitely have a better roster. Baker Mayfield was looking like he was going to have an MVP season this year and then didn't. Which is interesting. I mean, Tampa Bay's got great wide receivers and a good running back. Tez Johnson's good. I guess I should list him in probably, like, depth chart order. I'd assume depth chart order goes Mike Evans and Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State. And by the way, I'm mentioning Mike Evans. Mike Evans was the wide receiver that Johnny Manziel threw the ball to, so that also probably helped Johnny Manziel a lot. I mean, he could just say, you know, Mike Evans is down there somewhere, and then throw the ball, and then Mike Evans would just body whichever college player he's playing against because he became the best 50-50 ball player in the NFL. I guess with the exception of Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Mike Evans definitely helped. He was up there just bodying people. So you'll have that. But Emeka Egbuka, also great. And Tez Johnson, unfortunately, ended up on the same team as Emeka Egbuka. Otherwise, I think he could be I don't know. Wide receiver 3 is a good spot for Tez Johnson, I guess. Also, Chris Godwin's on that team. So Tez Johnson might even be wide receiver 4. But either way, I mean, I don't know. They have a great line over there, too. But I'm interested to see the playoffs this year. If the Packers do make it far, I'll be surprised. I know that's unfortunate to hear, being a Packers fan, but the Packers, they have a lot of injuries right now. Micah Parsons is out for the season. I assume Jordan Love will be back next game, but he was out against the Ravens. Just a lot of things like that. I mean, it was... Oh, that's what it was. Unfortunately, the Packers losing to the Ravens, I think, is what locked the first seed in for the... Wait, is it? Yeah, I think the Packers losing to the Ravens is what locked the Bears into the first spot in the NFC. I should have written it down. Can't recall exactly. But yes, the Packers losing to the Ravens definitely helped the Bears, but then the Bears turned around and lost to the 49ers, so I guess it evened itself out. I don't know. Packers losing to the Bears was a whole bunch of crap. It was very unfortunate. The Packers were winning, and then all of a sudden, it's overtime, and the Bears win the game. But you'll have that, I guess, in professional football. That's what makes it exciting. Also, fun fact, apparently Packers quarterback Jordan Love and his wife are having their first kid, I think. So that's good for him, I guess. But the Packers, like I said, I don't know how far they're going to go into the playoffs. I don't know. I think the Dolphins could be all right next year. By the way, if you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You don't have to talk about football, by the way. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. I just happen to have a lot of football stories. Or, I don't know, anecdotes, maybe. But I think the Broncos have a good chance to win the Super Bowl this year. I know this isn't as, organized as, say, the talking about the college football, but I think the Broncos are probably going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know about probably. If I had to put money on a team to win the Super Bowl this year, it'd be the Broncos, probably. The Broncos had a good schedule, I think. I mean, I can't recall exactly whoever they played, but I mean, I know that the second weakest schedule in the NFL was the Patriots. So I think the Patriots are probably a bit overrated. Sorry to tell you that to all the Patriots fans out there. But, I mean, 13-3, great record. Got another game to play, I guess, so you could end up 14-3 or 13-4. But, nonetheless, don't get me wrong, I think Drake May's good, but having the second weakest schedule in the NFL definitely helps. But to be fair, I'm pretty sure, now I'd have to fact check myself and get back with it, but I'm pretty sure the schedule strength of the Dolphins that won the undefeated Super Bowl was also very weak. So that helped them win the undefeated Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, the playoffs is the playoffs. That's where you prove it all. But the Patriots showed struggles against teams that they probably shouldn't have showed struggles against. Also, speaking of the Packers, they signed Trevon Diggs. I think Trevon Diggs, cornerback from the Cowboys. Micah Parsons was very happy that we signed him, as was I. I think we need a defensive tackle as well. But a corner definitely helps. Especially Trevon Diggs, he's good. Now, he's kind of fallen off a bit. But I think coming back with Micah Parsons and maybe under a new defensive coordinator might rejuvenate him a bit. He's still really young, 26 years old, I do believe. So he's still got a lot of time. He has been injured, though. So like Micah Parsons, he didn't come to us injured, though, like Micah Parsons. But he is not necessarily injury-prone, but he has been prone to injuries, if that makes sense. So, I think that's great for the Packers' defense, but I think the loss of Kenny Clark definitely hurt us, seeing as, look what Derrick Henry did to it. I mean, the man guarded the Packers, and he was able to do that because we don't have a defensive tackle, we don't have a defensive line anymore. We have great edge rushers, but you gotta edge rush the quarterback. Edge rushing running backs is not really gonna work out, because unless they're going to the edge. Otherwise, they're just going to hit up the middle. And the defensive tackles are weak, so that's Derrick Henry's strong. So he's a downhill runner. Very unfortunate. I'm trying to figure out what the schedule strength of was of the undefeated Dolphins. I think that'd help. But, yes, it is true. The 1972 Miami Dolphins faced one of the easiest schedules in NFL history, with opponents finishing a combined winning percentage of only 0.396. So, below half. They played seven games against teams with a sub .3 record, and only two of their 14 regulars, because there were 14 games in every season back then, only two of their 14 regular season games opponents finished with a winning record. So, yeah. I mean, they definitely... ranked among the weakest in NFL history, by the way. Noting that 99% of teams since 1950 have had a more difficult schedule. So, the Dolphins definitely were assisted by the weak schedule there. But, I mean, they did it. So, good on them, I guess. The Patriots could do it, so that, I guess, is a defense for the Patriots. But, like I said, the Patriots seem to struggle with teams they shouldn't have struggled with. I mean, they struggled with the Bengals, and the Bengals' defense is arguably one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They struggled with the Jets. You know, look at the Jets. I mean, like, Jets fans hate being Jets fans because of how bad the Jets are sometimes. Now, don't get me wrong, I think they're slowly figuring it out. I think Adonai Mitchell was a good add. I think that Justin Fields is a good quarterback. He's just rather inconsistent given the moment. But I think you got to get, you know, I think they could get it. I think they just got to give it some time. Get some draft picks, get some line in there. They still have a bit of a struggle with the line. They have Mekhi Becton, he's good. But besides that, I don't know. It's certainly interesting, I guess. But, you know, that is what it is, I guess. By the way, TJ Watt, we talked about him getting a collapsed lung due to what they call dry needling, which is like taking a thin needle and stabbing it into your muscles to relieve pain, maybe relieve tension. It's acupuncture. It's called dry needling because they don't put medicine on the needles. It's acupuncture. And apparently his lung... I don't know why I laughed. But apparently his lung collapsed during one of the acupuncture things, which is just, I guess, a risk associated, and nobody in the NFL really seemed... Well, I mean, they were all like, you know, hope he gets better. But it's just... they all basically said there's a risk associated with any procedure you take, and that they're probably going to keep doing it. But I don't know. I think that the Patriots, like I said, overrated team. But I guess they did, I don't know. They could always lose to the Bills or something in the playoffs. I feel so bad for Josh Allen. Great quarterback, but I think he also chokes a bit. I don't know. I think it's interesting to say the least, I suppose. I don't know. I was going to talk about the draft, but it just hit me that I don't know anybody in college football that's getting ready to come to the draft besides Ohio State players. So that's interesting. Now, I think Maryland's quarterback, I was a fan. I can't remember the team, but I think it was Maryland. I like their quarterback. He's 6'4". He's got a stockier kind of build on him. And he's not slow, but he's not like, you know, quick. I smacked the mic somehow. But he was, he can get around in the pocket. He's got good footwork. And, he's got an arm on him. I'm a fan of that. He's got the build I want, but he's a freshman too, so he's, you know, got some work ahead of him. But I think he could do good, especially if he. I don't know. Maryland's an all right team, but he might be able to hit the. I was gonna call it the free agents. I don't remember what they transfer portal. Yeah, hit the transfer portal and go there. But. By the way, if you have anything you would like to say, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We have about 12 minutes left in the show. Time's flown right by in this show. Temperature has continued to go down, 79 degrees. We started at 85, so that's good. Yeah. Also, we have this big, we used it for the promo picture, so if you saw the promo picture, I'm sure you saw the Santa Claus. But it's a big old Coca-Cola sign that has Santa Claus on it. It says, refresh your holiday spirit. I like the Coca-Cola Santa Claus. I don't know why, but, Coca-Cola's got a whole different kind of Santa Claus than your stereotypical Santa Claus. Not, like, incredibly different, but just a different kind of Santa Claus. Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was nice to add in there. But yeah, no. Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy in the gubernatorial race. There has been another person enter the race on the Republican ticket. His name is Casey Putsch. I think if I got that right, Casey Putsch. I don't know, you know, I don't know anything about him, truth be told. But, I don't know, there's, people in the comment section of this, this post, of the man who's running for governor on the Republican side who are, I don't know, hating on Vivek, so. It seems that, I guess, the guy's got some support already. I don't know that it's the massive amount, because I don't know that anybody's really heard anything about said guy. The article came from, I'm going to get it wrong, WKYC, I think it was, Cleveland. So, it seems there is another Republican getting in the race, but, you know, like I said, I mean, getting in the race on the Republican side, I mean, I hope that there's actually a competition and a primary in the Republican side. But it would seem to me that the Republican Party's already picked who they want. They've already backed Vivek. All the people have already endorsed Vivek. When I say they, I do mean the actual Republican Party. The majority of individual people have endorsed Vivek. I mean, Vivek had ads running, like, a year in advance to knock out it was not Frank LaRose, I don't think. I'm pretty sure it was Dave Yost, because Dave Yost was going to run. Dave Yost did not. Well, he did for a minute, but he dropped out. I guess he didn't see it as feasible, because, like I said, a year in advance. Vivek had ads running. I don't know. We were talking, I think it was last hour at least, about somebody else getting in the race, and how, you know, a third party would do it. It would be possible. I mean, it's not impossible, but it would be very difficult. I mean, even to get on the ballot as an independent candidate takes significantly more work than getting on the ballot as a non-independent candidate. If you have a party behind you, it's just that much easier. Now, I don't know to what benefit that is, I guess. I personally think that we should somehow manage to expand the voting system some, I don't know. There's got to be a better way to do things, I guess. Anyways. But yeah, so, I mean, Vivek and Amy Acton already have the money on their side. I mean, getting in now, I don't think would do you any good. You'd be spending a lot. I mean, I guess you could get your name out there now for future reference. But, I don't know, you'd be spending a lot of time and whatever money you do end up with to likely not win the race. So, I don't know. It's rough. But like I said, I mean, neither of them have experience, so you can't vote based on experience. They would both be a first. So there's that. I don't know to what extent Vivek Ramaswamy's name, religion, name, religion, and skin color, I suppose, will hurt him. I knew I was forgetting a third thing. But I think it will impact voters to some extent. I don't know to what level. I don't know. I guess Amy Acton's got COVID against her. A lot of people feel like she took an axe to small business when DeWine shut down the government. DeWine did say, that he was the one who shut down the government, and she was not the one who did it, and he didn't do it on her order, and that she, he just took the advice that she gave him based on the knowledge that we had at the time. And, you know, I think that's probably true. I mean, he was the governor. I don't know how Amy Acton would influence the, just, you know, I don't know how she would, like, order the governor to do such things. But, nonetheless, I guess, they're gonna beat her over the head for it. Now, it was interesting when, I almost said Vivek, when DeWine said in that statement that, you know, it was, you know, the shutting down of the state during COVID wasn't Amy Acton, it was me, that was on, you know, my order. Sorry, got a dry spot. 1 second. All right. Yeah. I thought the whole statement that he gave was rather interesting. And he didn't endorse Vivek in the same statement. He said he will endorse Vivek, but he, you know, has yet to. Said he would like to have more conversations with him, I do believe was the reason given. I don't know. I mean, he could endorse Vivek. I don't know how likely it is. I mean, maybe it'll be like, if he sees Vivek winning, he will endorse Vivek before the race is over. If he doesn't see Vivek winning, he won't endorse Vivek before the race is over. But, I don't know. I mean, I don't see DeWine... I don't think DeWine wants to be done with politics necessarily, but I mean, where's he going to go? I mean, he could go back to the Senate, I guess. I think he was a senator at one point. At the very least, I'm pretty sure he was a representative. So he could do that, but he's termed out as governor. He's been in every office in the state except treasurer, I believe. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he would do, and so I don't know what benefit it would really have to him to endorse Vivek. If he doesn't want Vivek, I mean, maybe it's just to protect, like, his legacy within the Republican Party, I suppose. But, I don't know. I think the whole thing's rather interesting, like I said. I think it's interesting that there's nobody in the race with any experience. You have four people in the race now, the Gary Putsch, you have Heather Hill, you have Amy Acton, you have Vivek Ramaswamy. And not a one of them have political experience, unless you want to count, I guess, Amy Acton being in whatever cabinet it was in the DeWine administration. But I mean, also, I mean, I guess you could also count, I don't know, I guess you can't say no experience, it's more like limited. Because Amy Acton has the experience in the DeWine administration, and now Vivek was never part, I don't believe, of the Trump administration, but he was originally supposed to hit up Doge with Elon Musk, and then it ended up not being that way, and then Vivek came back to Ohio and ran for governor. Also, I do believe he announced he was running for governor after he went on a big tour around colleges with Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens, maybe? There was somebody else there. But yes, he went around and did a whole bunch of college, like, tour things that, like, the Charlie Kirk did. He did them with Charlie. And, so, I mean, he's got, you know, that for him. He ran for president, and he was, like I said, playing politics to some extent. I mean, he was supposed to head Doge with Elon, but that didn't end up working out. But, I mean, you know, he's also a rather successful businessman. I mean, that was the whole theory behind Donald Trump, is that, you know, if he was... his businesses were successful, and he made a lot of money, therefore he can fix the finances of the country. Vivek Ramaswamy certainly made a lot of money. I don't know if he founded the pharmaceutical company, but he was the CEO. And, I guess he did rather well. He's a billionaire. So yeah, I mean, you know, I guess it's the it's the usual as of this given moment. Rather unfortunately, I suppose. But if you have anything you'd like to say, sorry, my head broke for a second. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in. You got about a minute and a half. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, like I said, about a minute and 20 seconds at this point to go. But, I don't know. We didn't even talk about the fact that the county said that they're out of money. So, yes, we'll touch on it for the last minute. We can wait. There's no point. But yeah, Vivek Ramaswamy, Amy Acton, Gary Putsch, Heather Hill, gubernatorial election. Rooting for Indiana to win the national championship. Unfortunate Alabama got put out, I guess, but you know, like I said, I was rooting for Alabama I was rooting for Indiana anyways. Happy New Year when Ohio State lost. Yeah. But alrighty, but with all that being said, we have about 30 seconds left, so you can listen to us live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at www.wwgh1071.com. At the very bottom of the page is a Listen Live button, or you can download the free TuneIn app and listen there, also live, 24 hours, for free. Yeah, Monday through Friday, live programming, otherwise, recordings. I appreciate everybody for listening. Have a nice night, and Happy New Year to you.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because